Monster Man, episode 504, Animal, Herd. Hello, and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm taking a look at the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are continuing our look at the creatures of Athas, the post-apocalyptic fantasy world that is home to the 1991 Dark Sun setting. Before we do that, though, it's time to thank a new Patreon backer. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $2 level or higher, you'll also get access to every episode of my other podcast, Patron Deities. So thank you very much to new backer, Lawrence. Your support means a lot to me. All right, let's talk about the animal, herd. So last time, we had the animals, domestic, and they were used to give Athas a little bit of that not in Kansas anymore flavor. Most of them had some mechanical interest, but not a huge amount, just enough to make them more than just cats and dogs with Athasian hats on. I'm sort of expecting that this will also be the case for the animals, herd. So let's find out. We have three animals, herd in today's episode. We got the Kip, the Zatal, and the Jinx. Let's start with the Kip. Kips are armored creatures that can, they're kind of like insect legs, as they have six legs, but they have a leathery hide rather than a shell. They are able to protect themselves if they're in danger by puffing out a cloud of pheromones. And these pheromones induce an apathetic state. So whoever was trying to harm the Kip, or at least the Kip thought they were trying to harm them, goes into a kind of listless trance, and the Kip just toddles away. And when you're in this state, you sort of lose the self-preservation instinct, which can be very bad news in the unforgiving Athasian landscape. You won't even drink water unless somebody prompts you to. So you can be kind of like led around, and if someone nudges you, you know, you'll walk in that direction, but you have no real volition. I can never remember which is a turn and which is a round. If a turn is the 10-minute one, then this can last up to 80 minutes, which is no good. Now, Kip are mostly herded by dwarves, because dwarves, being more resistant than other humanoids to poison, are similarly resistant to the Kip's pheromones. And also, they herd them a lot, so they're just kind of used to it. They herd them for their meat, and they use their leathery hides. They make clothes and armor and things out of the leather. And there's a good thing about how they keep the slow-moving Kip herds moving across the landscape steadily so that they don't damage growing plants too much. Because Athas, as you might expect, has a lot of plants that are sort of prickly or scrubby or that have needles or other ways of protecting themselves, but the Kip's thick hide allows it to withstand these as it goes, you know, into these tough plants in search of their tender shoots or whatever, which is good for the Kip, but can be bad for the plant life, so the dwarves keep them moving. Now, managed transhumance, quite common in the real world, seldom comes up in fantasy worlds, so getting a little cameo in Dark Sun here, because this is a setting that is very focused on the nuts and bolts of survival. We saw a little bit of that in Al-Qadim, thinking about the desert and, you know, camel math and so on. But here, the sense of you could have great psychic powers or whatever, or be a great warrior, but if you run out of food or water, you're in bad shape, is very prominent. Next up, we have the Zatal, which is a creature with a fantasy apostrophe. We haven't had very many of those in D&D. There are not none, but there are some, but I think we're going to get a good number in Dark Sun, because it's a very 90s thing, the fantasy apostrophe. The Zatal is a small lizard. There's no illustration, but I get the impression they're kind of raptor-like. They got big legs and little forearms, and they're covered in sharp scales. They don't do very much damage in a fight, but when startled, they can emit a high-pitched shriek that induces a kind of vertigo. Although you can protect yourself with earplugs, they just give you a bonus to the relevant saving throws. This is actually pretty bad. Even a successful save against the Zatal's scream incurs penalties, and a failed save is so dizzying that it takes you out of action until the screaming stops. You can't do anything else except, like, drop to the ground, cover your ears, and try to remember which way is up. We don't get very much cultural information about the Zatal, so unlike the Kip, we don't know if there's, you know, one people who particularly herd them or anything like that. But we do know that the Zatal are good food. Their sort of muscular legs produce these kind of big drumsticks, and they have long tails, which are also thought to be good eaten, and their sharp scales can be used as knife blades or razor blades, a sort of small, like a scalpel blade kind of size, but they don't last. You know, they get dulled and then that's it, they're done. Of course, you get a lot of scales off of one Zatal, so I imagine you might have people going around with little bags full of Zatal scales. I do like how specific the dietary information in these sections is. Once again, you get the sense that hungry player characters might find themselves with no better option than to try to rustle a few Zatal from a herd tended by sort of deaf dinosaur cowboys, which is a fun image. You might find yourself in a situation where a few Zatal drumsticks could make the difference between life and death. Finally, we have the Jenks, a sort of, they're like prairie dog kind of creatures. They're four-legged mammals, and they defend themselves with poison spurs on their limbs, a bit like a male platypus. They live in underground burrows, which is what makes me think of, I don't know, prairie dogs, groundhogs, that kind of thing. The poison from their spurs, or the venom, I suppose, is pretty dangerous. It causes the affected area of the body to wither and become useless, including if it's your head, like shrinking your brain such that you lose points of intelligence and eventually you can die. The mechanic is a little weird, right? It says that the affected area of the body withers at an inch of diameter per turn. I don't know off the top of my head what the diameter of like a leg is and the diameter where, right? Like the diameter of my ankle and the diameter of my thigh are pretty different. I am not very good at estimating distances and measurements. So maybe you have a better sense of how many inches around your wrist is or whatever, but I don't know that just off the dome, and I've ordered clothes off Wish. Well, I've ordered armor off Wish to use in LARP costumes. My sci-fi character's LARP armor is largely sort of, you know, motorcycle pads. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is that having done that, even then, I couldn't tell you the diameter of my forearms. You know, I'd have to stop and measure it. So it feels like a weird, you know, it should just be like per point of strength or something. But, you know, that's a minor thing. Anyway, Jenks herders don't really herd them. They just kind of sit outside their burrows and prey on them, and they build protected huts that have like stone floors so the Jenks can't tunnel up in and attack them, which I think is a fun detail. They hunt them when they pop out of their burrows. They carefully remove the poison sacs before eating them, and they don't cook them because the odor of cooking Jenks has the effect of driving other Jenks wild with fury. So once again, we're seeing a lot of opportunities to protect yourself from these creatures by knowing about them, by having kind of the inside scoop. And I do think that it really stresses the ways in which knowledge of the landscape of Athas and its creatures and its kind of different resources could be very important in a game. We don't learn very much about eating the Jenks, which is odd because the entry is at some pains to point out the Jenks are nutritious but dangerous to try and hunt. One thing I don't quite get about this entry is the illustration, which shows a gnarly snail-like creature and a fat larva, which don't correspond to any of the monsters on these two pages. In fact, I think it's meant to be an Auken, one of the creatures from the previous entry, which means that there's two art pieces for the previous entry and no art for this one. So that's kind of odd. I mean, it's a fine illustration. I just think it's a little strange. But overall, these two normal animal entries have been quite interesting, and I think we've learned a lot not only about the world of Athas, but also about what the designers are hoping we get out of these creatures. So I'm looking forward to finding out more when we look at our next monster, the Antloid. That's not going to be this week, however. In the middle of this week, we're going to have a new episode for subscribers to Patron Deities, and at the end, another listener request special episode. So I hope that you will join me for that right here on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you've got a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, why not get in touch? I'm on Twitter as @GonzoHistory, on Mastodon as GonzoHistory@dice.camp, or you can find me on Instagram at MonsterManGonzo, or drop me an email, GonzoHistory@gmail.com. Our theme music is an extract from Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster and is used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Our cover art is by Ray Otis. Thanks for listening, and please join me next time for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great.